My goodness, thank you, band. It always amazes me how they can take a good song and make it great, you know? Admit it now, how many of you were trying to find your part in the midst of that lovely harmony? Great job, band. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're in this last week of this month where we're looking at love. We began the month looking at the early days of humankind's development before we were so sophisticated, before we had the consciousness to understand things like we understand them now. And I shared with you about love being this nebulous, invisible, unnamed force that just moved around through the universe. Humans experienced it now and again, but really didn't know what it was or know what to call it. And then we began to mature in our consciousness, and religion came along. And one of the things that religion did that in a sense was good and then it wasn't necessarily was that religion objectified love. The early religions all had gods and goddesses that represented love. One of the problems about that was that at some point, almost every one of them turned their attention from what the gods and goddesses were representing, which was love, and began to worship the gods and goddesses themselves. And love became something almost unimportant to the situation. The same thing happened with images. I told you the story about how we came to have the heart as an image of love. It became the same thing, it became objectified in that way. Even in Christianity took the image of the cross, the instrument of crucifixion, torture, execution, and turned it into an object of love. So that had both sides to it. It was good because it gave us something to wrap our minds around, but it also gave us the opportunity to wrap our minds solely around the image of what was represented rather than love itself. So we're going to see if we can rectify that a little bit by taking a look at metaphysics. Now, what is the difference in metaphysics and religion? Religion objectifies things. Metaphysics personalizes things. Religion points to things in the outer. Metaphysics points us back to the inner. So it's not about somebody else or some time else or something else. Metaphysics said it's all about you and me. Now, I know that that rubs up against some of your teachings along the way of not being selfish and, you know, always putting somebody else before you. And you know the unreasonableness of that idea if you've been on a plane. Well, it's been a while since many of us have been on a plane, but we always get those instructions about when the oxygen thing falls down. Who are you supposed to take care of first? You take care of yourself, because if you're not getting oxygen, you're not going to be any good to anybody else. And it's the same kind of thing, is that if we don't know something about ourselves, we don't know something about anything else. So the idea of pointing back to ourselves is not selfish. It is selfless. It's the right thing to do that metaphysics teaches us here. So let's see what metaphysics teaches us about love. A technical definition of metaphysics from Charles Fillmore says, love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. So it's important for us to understand, to have our minds in a place of grasping the principle of love. It is this healing, harmonizing, binding force in all the universe that carries this power with it. And it's important for us to understand that, because if we don't have some grasp of what it is, we can't have any conscious relationship with it. So that's an important thing for us to do, is to learn that principle that's in place, to learn to have the information about it. But that's not going far enough to really know what love is. That's a starting place and an important one. But in addition to knowing the principle, there's also the experience of love, which is really where we're headed. We learn about these things, we figure out what makes sense to us, and then we open ourselves up to the experience of love. And love comes to us as that experience in many different ways out in the world. One of the ways it comes is nature. How many of you have ever been out in nature and witnessed some beautiful sight and felt that movement within you, that stirring within you? You might not even have known to call it love, but it's there. I think I probably told you the story maybe even more than once, but it's a good story, bears retelling. I was going through the Smoky Mountains back when I was a Baptist minister. I was headed for Georgia to do a revival service, a week of revival in a church there, driving through the Smoky Mountains, which just sent me somewhere else, of course. And there was one overlook there where you could see for miles and miles and miles. And I went over and there was a bench there, and I stood up on the bench and I was standing there like this, just soaking it up and feeling all that love. It was just, oh, it was amazing. And you know how you get a feeling somebody's looking at you? Well, I got that feeling somebody was looking at me, and I looked behind me, and there was a family of three or four huddled against their car over there looking at me like this, like, is he going to fly? Is he going to jump? What's going to happen here? But I didn't let that interrupt my reverie of love there. But many times, nature itself speaks to us and stirs within us that feeling of love. And I'd encourage you, when you have an experience like that and you have that feeling, you don't know what it is, then call it love. That's what it is. That wonderful force of spirit moving through you and through everything that is. Some people love sunrises and sunsets, and I've seen some glorious ones. And again, that same sense of stirring within you. Some people feel that in a situation with art. I remember so well being in Rome and standing in front of Michelangelo's Pietà, and just, and even now, standing before that and just being completely overwhelmed with that sense of love moving in me and through me, and seeing all those great, amazing works of art that are there stirred that in me. For some people, it's music. Some people hear a beautiful piece of music. You can play Paco Bell's Canon in D and almost any version there is, and I'm gone. It just does something to me, and when that happens, I call it love. It's that movement of power through me. Some people hear a piece of poetry that's particularly carefully written, and it stirs their soul, stirs their heart. But there are many, many ways. There are relationships. Certainly, when someone looks you in the eye and says, "I love you," and it can even be a casual thing, but really, really mean the truth there. You have that sense within you, that stirring within you that moves. Some people feel it when they hold a newborn baby. When's the last time you held a brand new baby? And you've ever had that experience of a baby wrapping their hand around your finger? Now, people laugh at me about this, but this is very real to me. Have you ever looked at a newborn's fingernails? They're real. You know, they're tiny, tiny little real fingernails. For some reason, I don't know why, that just completely does me in. It just moves me so much, and I call that feeling love. So there's so many different ways that we experience that love in our lives. And the more we understand about what love really is, the more we can appreciate, and the deeper we can experience that love when it comes to us in all these different ways. Now, most of the time, this happens spontaneously, serendipitously. But we can also take time to say, I really want to experience love in my life. I'm going to open myself up to the presence of love and just see where it appears. And I'll say some more about this in a minute, but one great way of experiencing love is by giving love. But there's a little bit of catch, I think, to giving love. And that is that I think, and I've had people disagree with me, but everyone has a right to be wrong. and that's a joke, I promise. But I think that you can only love someone to the degree that you love yourself. All right? Many people try it. I've seen people talk about loving somebody and then turning around with hate and vitriol towards someone else. I don't think you can do that. And especially not loving yourself. It's like meeting someone who needs money and you have no money in your pocket. You can't give them any money because you don't have any. And you can't give love if you're not experiencing it. You can't give it if it's not yours. So it's important to keep that in mind and to remember that. Now, one thing we know about love is that love changes things. And this is where the metaphysical view comes into play. Love changes you as the lover. The definition tells us that love is the healing, harmonizing, binding force in the universe. Love changes you when you are healed. Now, the word heal and whole and hail and healthy all come from the same root. And it basically means whole and complete. So love makes you and me whole and complete. It heals us. Now, healing doesn't always show up in the outer. Healing is primarily, first of all, internal. It is about consciousness. And Spirit moves as love in us and through us and heals us because it brings into our consciousness the understanding and the experience, the feeling, if you will, of wholeness, that there's nothing missing. We may not have it all together in our human life yet, but that's coming along. The truth is, behind that, in our spiritual consciousness, we are whole. That is a spiritual principle, and that is an affirmation, I am whole. So when we are healed, we're made whole, and we are changed. Love changes us when it moves through us, when we are harmonized. If you've been around musical instruments, particularly the piano, what happens if you play a C and a C sharp at the same time? Yeah, it kind of twists your head around, doesn't it? That's not harmonized. But if you play a C, E, and G together, a little bit like the harmony we heard a moment ago, there's something beautiful about that. And Spirit moves as love in and through us to harmonize us, harmonize our thoughts, harmonize our feelings, to bring all that together in something that works seamlessly and perfectly and beautifully. Love harmonizes us and changes us. Love also moves in us and through us and changes us as we are bound to Spirit. Now, that word carries something of a negative connotation in our culture, but it means to tie together. It means to unify. It means to make one. And Spirit moves in and through us as love and binds us with Spirit so there can be no separation. That's one of the most powerful principles I know about metaphysics. That is the sense of oneness that we have with Spirit, that sense of connection. One of the great basic fears of human beings is abandonment, of being left alone with no one to care for us, no one to be with us, no one to relate to. And love in and through us tells us we are connected with Spirit in a way that cannot be diminished, and it will never, ever go away. That's pretty powerful stuff. So when Spirit moves in and through us as love, we are changed because we experience, we feel, we know that connection with Spirit without a doubt, and we are changed. Now, second thing that we know that love does is it not only changes us, but it changes the world through us and by us. And I repeat what I said a moment ago, that we cannot love the world if we don't love ourselves. We cannot really love someone else unless we really love ourselves. So it's important to begin there. Someone said, I found this quote recently, I've used it several times in conversations. Someone said, the clever person sets out to change the world, and the wise person sets out to change him or herself. So we are wise in changing ourselves first and then turning out into the world. Now, what happens when a changed person goes out into the world? What happens when a person who has love flowing through them and in them, and they understand it, and they know it is there, they're aware of it, they're grateful, they celebrate it. What happens when that person walks out into this world that is so troubled and so dark? It changes it. It makes a difference through us. And just as love changes us, it changes the world. Love heals the world. Love can bring the world to wholeness as it is experienced. I said earlier, one of the ways that you and I experience love is through relationships. One of the ways that we affect our world, we go out as agents of positive change in our world. One of the ways we do that is through relationships, through being with people, to respecting people and giving them consideration and saying to someone, I love you. That changes the world. That brings light into the world. That brings that presence of love into the world, and it makes a difference. Love also harmonizes the world. Do you think the world could use a little more harmony right now? There's so much dissent. There's so much dissension. There's so much dissonance in our world. Love comes in and harmonizes that, brings it together. You probably had someone that you disagreed with, and you were polar opposites about where you were. And some of you have stories to tell about how miraculous it was that you became reconciled, and that person with whom you were in disharmonious relationships became harmonious again. I've heard of families that happened to, siblings and parents, where at some point love healed that division and they were brought together again. And love binds the world together in unity through us. So we have a great part to play in that, love changing us and then love changing the world. Charles Fillmore said that love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all is good, and by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality to finally appear uppermost in itself and in all things. Jesus talked about light. He said, you are the light of the world. And he said, you don't light a candle and then cover it up with a basket. You light a candle so everybody can see, so that there's light for everyone. And that's our role, that we are the light of the world. And as we are, as our light shines forth because love is flowing through us with the cooperation of our consciousness and our actions, we make a difference in the world. Now, it's important to remember, too, that we can either go out into the world and just be ourselves and let the light shine and not think about that happening, and it still shines. We can also go out in the world being deliberate, saying, I'm going to see somebody today whose day I can make better. I'm going to meet somebody today who just simply looking at them and smiling will make a difference. I'll meet somebody today who's really down and needs to hear, I love you, or I care about you, or you can do this, you can make it through. But we always have that effect on the world. You see, we can hold healing and holding for the world even when the world can't do it for itself. We can hold that binding experience of oneness for the world even when the world can't see that themselves. We can see harmony in the world even when the world can't see it. How many of you, and I know many people don't even watch the news anymore, and I think probably a restricted diet of the news is a good thing. But how many of you watch what's on TV and just say, oh my goodness, how horrible that is. Oh my God, we're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, this is terrible, whatever. Are you being a healing influence when you do that? No, we're not. We're just supporting what's there. How about looking at that and saying, oh, how horrible that is for those people who are experiencing this. I'm going to see something else for them. In this situation of darkness, I'm going to see light. In this situation of pain and sadness, I'm going to see healing. In this situation of concern and confusion, I'm going to see harmony. I'm going to see healing for the whole world in this way. Do you make a difference in the world then? You bet you do. It may be subtle. You may not suddenly see something change on television. But every bit of energy that you pour into the world from that place of light, from that place of truth, makes a difference. I believe that with all my heart, or I wouldn't be doing this stuff. Everything we do makes a difference one way or the other. Let us make that difference for good. Let us know that we're going out as agents of positive change for love in the world and do that. But let us also remember to do it first for ourselves. If you need it, you have permission to be selfish in that way and selfless in that way. Say, I'm going to take care of me. and I'm going to love myself. And then I'll be in a place to be able to share. I want to close with a scripture from what we call the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. You've heard music twice in this month from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's just the last verse there, chapter 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Say that with me if you will. The greatest of these is love. One more time. The greatest of these is love. I love you. God bless you, my friends.
And as we think about Unity of Pompano Beach as an organization, we hope that it is your spiritual center and that you will share with others. We are here to assist you, share with you, grow with you. And if you're finding those places within you that are calling for love, to learn to love yourself, how do you do that? Keep coming back. Keep coming to us for our services. Listen online. Look at our website for the many forms of assistance that are there as you grow in your consciousness. For indeed, God is love, always, forever, and all around us, all within us. And that self-love and healing is absolutely possible. And those who consider this a worthy spiritual center, we ask that you generously give. Many of us have received our stimulus checks. Maybe you can chisel a little bit out of that to send on as a special gift towards our Adopt-A-Seat or just to our programs as we continue meeting the needs in 2021 that has taken us to a level of technology that we are still attempting to climb over the learning curve. But we want to continue with our music and our services and our classes and our Power Hour and our licensed unity teachers. And we just thank you for all your assistance with that. So considering it's the love month of power, let us use love as our blessing as we bless all that you are giving, all that you have given, and with all our gratitude, with a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack, and we allow love to unfold in our lives. Love is ours. Love and more love is ours. And ever-increasing love is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this love. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.